If you open your Bibles once again to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Oops, I marked the wrong spot. I marked Mark chapter 6. Not quite the same. And tonight we're going to continue in our study of the passage of Scripture that's often referred to as the Lord's Prayer. And it's a pattern in prayer that God has given to us as His children, as believers, where He answered the question of His disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. Here as He's preaching the Sermon on the Mount, as He gives this to His hearers as instruction in how to come before the Lord in prayer. So you follow along here, let's read verses 9 through 13. Jesus teaches this. He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So as we have looked at up to this point, we've seen that this prayer begins with an invocation, Our Father, which art in heaven, and then there are six petitions. And the first three we've already talked about. The first one, hallowed be Thy name, that desire that God's name would be exalted, that would be elevated, set apart, and that our lives would reflect His character. The second petition, Thy kingdom come, and we talked about really several facets of that. The desire that certainly God's kingdom would come to people in the sense that unbelievers would come to Christ in saving faith, that we who are believers would live as kingdom citizens, and that would be fleshed out in our lives. And then, of course, the anticipation of that great coming day when He returns to establish His kingdom in an even more visible and tangible way. So all that rolled up in that. Then the third petition, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, reflects the desire of believers who have come to embrace God's kingdom vision, and then our desire becomes that of wanting to be a part of it and wanting to have our lives submitted and obedient to God's will for us and just to be used by Him in whatever manner He sees fit, and that His will would prevail in our lives, through our lives, and really just in an ever-increasing way in the world all about us. And that brings us to the focus tonight. And as I mentioned in one of the opening session or two, that those first three petitions really focus in particular upon God's plan, God's pattern, Him being exalted. And then these next three petitions have to do more with then our interaction with that and what the needs are, what those realities are in our life. So it kind of shifts, but yet there's a connection. And the petition tonight is this, give us this day our daily bread, verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. And this does follow naturally from the earlier petitions in that God gladly provides all that we need in order to obey His will and in order to do the work of His kingdom. So whatever we need, spiritual strength or wisdom, food, raiment, whatever those things are, we can simply ask and our faithful God will provide. So that's kind of the essence, the idea of this petition. Most of us are familiar with Hudson Taylor, well-known missionary in China. He was born in England in 1832, and he spent more than 50 years of his life involved in missionary endeavors in China. He's the founder of the China Inland Mission, and that mission was responsible for more than 800 missionaries going into China. Not that numbers are the issue, but something like 18,000 as a minimum converts as a direct result of the efforts of those missionaries. 125 schools were begun in China. There were something like 300 or 400 different mission stations established. Hundreds of native workers there engaged in the work with the missionaries. So this was a man who had a great vision for what God would do throughout the world, but in particular in China. And in those days, communication and things were different. Going to China from Britain was a bit of a daunting thing. But Taylor had that vision, and he was a man who believed that God would do amazing things. He knew what it meant to trust in God's faithfulness. And he wrote this one day in his journal. He said, "Our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that His children wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. We do not expect He will send 3 million missionaries to China, but if He did, He would have ample means to sustain them all." And then he concludes with this very familiar phrase. He says, "Depend on it, God's work, done in God's way, will never lack God's supply." And I suppose that sentence has been quoted thousands and thousands of times by preachers and Sunday school teachers and moms and dads and missionaries all around the world, but it's a familiar one. God's work done in God's way never lacks God's supply. And here we are now, Christians, living in a time and in an area of the world characterized by really unprecedented wealth. And it can be easy sometimes to take our attention off the fact that everything we have comes from God. I mean, Taylor recognized that well. You know, the pressures on them materially were beyond what most of us can even begin to relate to. And we live in such comfort that it's easy for us to lose sight of the fact that we're just as dependent on God. The truth is, we are just as dependent on God for food and shelter and care as the poorest of those Chinese in inland China in the 1800s in the days of Taylor. We just tend to be less mindful of it and less grateful for it. You know, but there are times, and some of you perhaps even at this moment are experiencing times like this where you become keenly aware of your dependence on God. You know, when it seems as if there's not enough money to get through the week or even the day, when it seems like you won't be able to cover your expenses, when you're uncertain what tomorrow holds. I mean, there are times when God brings even we here in affluent America kind of to our knees in that regard and reminds us of how dependent we are upon Him. But the fact is, whether the times are lean or plenteous, Jesus instructs us to bring this petition before our Heavenly Father: "Give us this day our daily bread." We better stop and have a word of prayer. But, you know, that's the topic, the theme, the title of this message tonight: "Give us this day our daily bread." Father, we are thankful that You do so richly provide for us. Lord, it's easy for us in the comfortable world in which we live, in the many blessings and privileges and securities that we have as Americans, in the manifold conveniences of this day, in the surroundings here by good friends, in the warmth of our home, and just the relative ease that we enjoy, and yet we are so often just unmoved by it. We often just take for granted Your remarkable care for us, Your provision of food, Your provision of raiment, Your provision of shelter, Your provision of transportation, Your provision of just the many privileges that we have. And Lord, I pray that tonight You would stir our hearts to a greater measure of thankfulness, that we would be reminded, we would continue to remind ourselves day by day, and yea, even moment by moment, that You are a wonderful, loving God who provides. And we can say to You, "Give us this day our daily bread," in confidence that indeed You will provide for all that we need in order to live in a manner that's pleasing to You, in order to accomplish the work to which You have called us as kingdom citizens. So I pray that You would direct in this message tonight, guide my thoughts and words, and that I would present that which Your Spirit has so moved. I pray that Your Spirit would take Your word and apply it in the minds, the hearts of these Thy people to accomplish Your perfect will. Use it to rebuke, to encourage, to confront, to challenge, to change, to bless. We're thankful, Father, that Your word is quick and powerful and able to do all those things in just the precise proportion that You intend, in just the manner that You intend. So, Father, we believe that You will work in our hearts tonight whatever is needful, and it might be different things for different folks. But accomplish Your purposes, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Make four observations from this. I think there's six words in this text. maybe is it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words. Give us this day our daily bread. But just 4 observations, just really kind of focusing on some of the key words in that expression. The first observation I would make is this. This bread cannot come from ourselves. This bread cannot come from ourselves. The prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. So here we have a humbling prayer when we understand really the implications behind it. We are asking for daily bread, a simple, common kind of a thing. And we'll talk about all that might be involved in that, but really it's just a prayer for that which we need and realizing that it's God who has to give it. It's not something we earn, not something we even necessarily deserve, but it's something that is given by God. And that's how Jesus begins this request. The first word is give, pointing that it's something we can't provide for ourselves. If we are to have daily bread, it must come because God has given it to us. We must receive it from Him. And so we're asking Him to graciously give us what we need. 1 Chronicles 29:14 says, "For all things come of Thee, and of Thine own have we given Thee." And that's a prayer as God's people had given generously. And yet they realized that they really weren't giving what was theirs. Everything they had had come from God. Everything. Even that which they would give back. It really was God's in the first place. And that's their burden. That's their perspective. You know what? Everything we have, to the last morsel, from the most grand thing to the least thing, all of it is from God. Psalm 145, verse 16 says, "Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." We can't provide ourselves with, say, spiritual nourishment. It can't come from within us. It comes from God. And you know, there's no really generic equivalent, no substitute for whatever it is that God provides. Only the real thing will do. So we are looking to God in this petition as the source of all things. Only He can give us this bread, folks, and He loves to give. Look over at the next chapter, Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. This is still in the Sermon on the Mount. And here Jesus is talking about the need for us to ask and seek and go to God, asking and seeking His provision for us. In verse 11 He says, "If ye then, being evil," and that doesn't mean wicked or as bad as you could be, it just means, you know, you being sinful people. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him?" James 1:7 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." You know, God does what He loves to do and what He enjoys doing, and He delights in giving. That passage there in Matthew 7. Those of us who are parents, and I think perhaps especially those of us who are dads, I can't speak from experience for moms, I can speak a little bit by observation, but those of us who are parents, and in particular dads, really do, at least this dad, loves giving things to our children and providing for their needs. And in fact, there's even a certain pleasure that comes in providing for their wants. Even if they don't deserve it, even if they haven't earned it, just giving from a heart of love to be a blessing, to be an encouragement, to help them have what they need to live in this world and beyond. And Jesus says, you know what, if that's the way you are, Dave Schlegel, as a wicked, you know, sinful man, and yet you have that heart to give to your children, how much more do you think God delights and takes great pleasure and joy in giving to you? And how much better are the gifts that He gives? That doesn't necessarily mean more expensive or whatever, but I mean, how much better, how much more needful, how much more energized by the Spirit of God, how much more appropriate are they than anything that I could come up with or give to my children? And there's a sense in that which I give my children is God giving to my children through me. So, I mean, it all ties together. But the fact is, God loves to give. And when we pray to Him in this petition, you know, give us this day, it's a word that means to give of one's own choice and from a heart of goodwill, and that's how God gives. It's a gift that's unearned, a gift that isn't deserved, but it's given by a God who loves us. And so this petition is a request that God would choose to give us, out of His goodness, everything we need to live obediently and satisfactorily in the kingdom of God on earth. And so Jesus tells us to ask God to give us what we need. So we're to pray then with confidence that God loves to give us what we can't get for ourselves. Give us this day our daily bread. The second observation I would make is this. This bread is for God's people, and there's some sense of community to it. There's a sense of togetherness, if you will. He says, give us this day our daily bread. We are to ask God to give us our daily bread, not give me my daily bread. The ancient Jews understood this far better than we contemporary Americans. And they had a saying that went like this. A man should always join himself with the community in his prayers. You know, folks, there is that sense of just coming together. That's one of the reasons that as a church, sometimes we have collective prayer times. You know, Saturday mornings, we have a group of men, a handful of men that get together very faithfully and just have a time of prayer. And there are times when we pray together as families. We pray together in groups here in our church, sometimes in bigger groups. But there is that sense of community about it, and we see it in this prayer. It's not just in this petition. It's in the petitions that follow as well, but they are framed. Jesus gives the wording in that collective sense to encourage us to realize that as we pray, it's not self-centered, but it's really the glory of God-centered, and it encompasses not only ourselves, but our family, our friends, our circle of Christian community, if you will. Now, we live in an American culture that stresses individual responsibility and independence and autonomy. And frankly, those things affect those of us who are Christians and influence us as well. And that's one of the reasons. And I teach a worldviews class in the school, and it's interesting some of the discussions that we have. And it always bears out kind of what my sense of the nature of people is. You know, and these are good believers. And they're in a class where, you know, they're not trying to say something that's off. Well, they're trying to say carefully thought out things. And yet sometimes the perspectives come through. And, you know, we might talk about things that governmentally and politically and about social programs and things like that. And one of the things that I observe about Christians of our stripe is that we are much quicker to think of this verse, 2 Thessalonians 3:10. If any would not work, neither should he eat. Okay? That's the thought that, you know, jumps to the forefront of people's minds. But we're not so quick to think about this verse or these verses. Acts 2, verses 44 and 45. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now most of us have our explanation of why that doesn't really mean what it kind of sounds like it means, and why we don't practice that in a really overt way, and we have ways of explaining around that. But you know, we are influenced by this lack of community that is America. It's much more independent. It's much more your own bootstraps, do your own thing, work hard. You know, God helps those that help themselves. Find that in your Bible, would you? Okay, you know, but we have these thoughts that are just part of our culture. And yet, in the ancient culture, in the culture of Jesus' day, you know, and what really ought be in Christian community especially, there ought to be that greater bond of togetherness and mutual concern and mutual support and love and encouragement and praying for each other and helping each other and working together and giving towards each other. Those are things that are marks of believers, and in particular, marks of believers in the context of the church. That's why when you read the New Testament, it's filled with the one another passages. Love one another, care for one another, be kind to one another, pray for one another. I mean, I've got a list of them somewhere. I think there's 35 different action verbs that are commanded to us in the context of one another things, and they're all those kinds of things. And this prayer request here reminds us, give us this day our daily bread, that as believers in Christ, we're to be in this together. And so Jesus teaches us, among other things here, to embrace our brothers and sisters in Christ and to think we rather than me and to embrace that one another idea that's so prominent in the New Testament. Now I'll grant there's a balance to that. In Galatians 6 gives us these two seemingly paradoxical verses. Verse 2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then just three verses later in verse 5, it says, every man shall bear his own burden. So both aspects are there, and just because I'm an analytical geek and I can't just leave that unsaid, okay? Each man bearing his own burden has to do with the individual responsibility, but then it says, bear one another's. It's a different word for burdens, heavy load. So in particular, when someone comes under a heavy load, when someone is seemingly crushed by the pressures of life, then of all times we ought to be shoring each other up, and we ought to be standing behind each other and with each other and helping and doing what we can. And so Jesus reminds us of that when he says, give us this day our daily bread. We need to share with one another, be it in the physical realm, in the material realm, in the spiritual realm. One of the marks of the early church was the love and compassion that they had for each other. And that sense of family despite their disparate backgrounds. You had Jews and Gentiles together. You had servants and masters together. You had diverse ethnic and cultural heritages and different citizenries. And you would find them in some of these cases all gathered together under that one roof, if you will, encouraging one another, praying together. Think of those impoverished believers in Philippi taking up a collection for the persecuted believers in Jerusalem. So here is a prayer request that is to indicate a desire that God would meet our needs, not just my needs. And that is, at least in some measure, an emphasis of this position, of this petition. So folks, every time we pray this prayer, we are affirming our solidarity with one another. And we are committing ourselves, as God enables us, to help provide bread, as it were, for our brothers and sisters. You know, so this is not only a request that God would provide, but it's a commitment to be part of how God answers that request for others in need to the extent that He enables us. And Jesus is showing us that God's blessings are to be asked for, and when received, shared. So it assumes a loving concern for the physical and spiritual welfare of others. I remember reading somewhere that each country has the resources to produce enough food for its people. Someone went through and concluded that about every nation of the world. And the way they explained it was, hunger may not always be a problem of supply as much as it is of distribution. Okay? I mean, it's there. It's just not getting into the hands of where it needs to get to. And folks, we ought to be the kind of people who have a generous enough spirit to help see God's provision distributed to those around us who are in need. And that's why, for example, we as a church have a benevolence fund. And on Sundays when we observe the Lord's table, you know, once each month we have men standing at the doors with an offering plate. And we have folks that give very, very generously and consistently towards that. And those monies don't go towards church expenses or towards the staff or whatever they or equipment, any of those things. They are distributed by the deacons and at the discretion of the deacons to minister to the needs of people who are in need. And first and foremost, folks of our assembly right here. On occasion, you know, we help others out as well, and in the interest of showing love in a tangible way. You know, the Scripture tells us, don't just tell someone be warmed and filled and send them on their way. You know, don't just say, I'll pray for you if it's in our means to try to help out. So this is a way of, in a tangible way, especially amongst the household of faith here, to show that love and to see the provision that God has given distributed to those who have particular needs. I would suggest that this request has in view more than just material needs, though that's certainly the first thing that comes to mind. But other things too. So we might pray for folks with struggling relationships. And as we do, we're praying for the strengthening nourishment of Christ through His Word to come to that couple or that family or those people so that they would be willing to live out the will of God and have the power for kingdom living. You know, we might pray for those who are in need of work, lacking in income. And we're praying that they will just continue to trust in God, that God will minister to those needs, that God will, as He enables us, allow us to help minister to some of those needs, and that they will be responsible as well, though, in seeking out how God might provide for them through work. And just as I need daily providence from God in all areas of my life, I realize that others do as well. And so we have a responsibility to help one another with those burdens, to bear those burdens, to pray for each other, to encourage one another, to help someone maybe just with a kind word or a, a reference from the Scripture that would be a blessing to them. Sometimes maybe it is through monetary gifts. Sometimes just through praying for folks. We have our prayer chain, and it allows us to share in the burdens that folks are experiencing. On Wednesday nights, we hand out a prayer sheet as a reminder. We make mention of those things in our Sunday services, but the idea is that we together share in those burdens, and we pray, God, give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we need. Give this brother, give this sister, give this dear family, give these folks those things that are needful in their life in order that they might continue to live for you. So this is a prayer of community of which we're a part. We pray with others in mind, and we're asking that God would give to all of us as He deems fit, and when He wants to, that He'd give through me. A third observation I'd make is this. This bread is made fresh each day. It says, give us this day our daily bread. You know, we can't relate to this as well. It's just kind of like the community thing. We live in a different day, in a different setting, in a different world. But in those days, we're talking about people who largely lived daily lives. Many, many people, large segments of the population in those days were day laborers. There's some parables about that. And they would go out and they would work for the day and they would be paid for that day at the end of that day. And then they would come back the next day and try to find work, and they would be paid that day for the work done that day. And there are people in our world and in our country today where that's how it functions. But for many of us, it's not how it functions. We've got a paycheck once a week, twice a month, once a month, whatever it might be. Some may have bonuses at the end of the year, I mean, different ways. But most of us don't really live that day-to-day kind of an idea in the same sense that they did. In those days, they didn't have refrigeration. At least not of the sort that we have. And long-term storage of perishable items was difficult. So, you know, the old idea of milking the cows daily wasn't because you put it in a big vat and the milk truck came by and picked it up. It's because you'd milk what you would drink that day. Right? You ate as you picked it. Everything was kind of a day-to-day. Bread was a daily chore of mixing and baking. Some of you perhaps still do that, but most of us don't. Now, the word that's translated daily here, where it says, give us this day our daily bread. That word that's translated daily is difficult to know for sure what the full impact is, because it only appears twice in the New Testament, here and in Luke's parallel account of this same request. And outside of the New Testament, there's only one other place that it's ever been found amongst the ancient Greek manuscripts and artifacts. There's a little scrap of parchment that was found that was apparently an ancient grocery shopping list. Okay? Because it's based on the content of this little chunk of parchment. You know, so men, those of you who are accustomed to having your wife call you near the end of the day and say, could you pick up a few items on the way home, and you scratch them down on a piece of paper, hoping that you'll be able to find them in less than a half an hour in the store because you have no clue where to begin. Okay, maybe these men of old had to relate to those same kind of realities. I don't know. They didn't have cell phones. I mean, things were different. In fact, I was thinking how often when I go on an errand to the grocery store, I'm typically calling home. You know, could you tell me where this is? I walk, and I'm one of those people, I don't like to ask. I just, you know, it just doesn't fit with, I don't like to ask directions. I don't like to ask, you know, where something is. You know, so I'll call my wife because she knows where everything is in the grocery store, and she'll talk me through it. Or I'll call and say, you said pick this up, and there are 47 different brands. Which one am I supposed to get? I'm thinking the box I've seen is blue, but there's four different blue ones here. You know, and so I'm calling to get the, you know, they didn't have those conveniences. But here was this little shopping list. And those who study these things out have determined that they think this was something that kind of reflected, and the word reflected, a housekeeper's habit of making a list of items that would be needed for the next day's work. And so they take that together, and people conclude it either means today's bread or tomorrow's bread. And some of your Bibles may have a little footnote to that effect, because people translate it different ways. Now that explanation might be there. So it means give us this day today's bread, or perhaps give us this day tomorrow's bread. And one commentator said, well, if the prayer is offered in the morning, it means today's bread. If the prayer is offered in the evening, it means tomorrow's bread. It really doesn't much matter, but the point is this. These were folks who lived daily lives, and they were dependent upon God to meet their needs minute by minute, day by day, and they prayed, give us what we need for today. The same God who has counted every hair on our heads, who knows that even when the most insignificant of birds falls to the ground, that same God cares for us. And we're His treasured possession, the apple of His eye, so to speak, and that God, our Heavenly Father, will provide for us each day all that we need. He promises us that. And Jesus says, pray for that. But the thing is, He only promises that He will provide for that day. And this prayer reflects that. It's a prayer for the immediate needs of the day, not the week, not the month, not the year, but the immediate needs of the day. And it's a prayer of trusting dependence on Him, not luxurious independence from Him. Okay? And that's the idea of, you know, today, Lord, meet the needs that I have. And tomorrow, we'll deal with tomorrow when it comes. One rabbi put it this way. He who possesses what he can eat today and says, what shall I eat tomorrow, is a man of little faith. Now, if we use that as a way of categorizing ourselves, I think most of us would have to conclude that according to that rabbi, we are people of little faith. Because we spend a lot of time worrying about tomorrow and next week and next month and next year and when I turn 65 and when I go to the hospital and whatever, and you know, and sometimes people will set aside for their burial and whatever. And I'm not saying it's wrong to plan. The Bible teaches the principle of planning. But I will say this, it's wrong to worry. It's wrong to be just fretting about the next day and the next month and the next year. Because God has assured us that He will provide for us day by day that which we need. It's daily bread. You know, think about the Israelites, right? There's the picture right there. They went into the wilderness. And God made sure that they couldn't get greedy. Because if they tried to collect up more than one day, then it went bad. Of course, at the end of the week, they would have enough to sustain them, so they didn't have to pick up the bread on the Sabbath. But, you know, it was a miraculous thing. But there's an illustration there. God was teaching them to live in daily dependence upon Him. And folks, we'd do well to eat manna for a while and to be compelled to live in that daily dependence. And you know, when we live in daily dependence, and maybe, you know, if you're like me, that kind of ebbs and flows, you know. There are times when, you know, you really are just very content with day-by-day things, and then there are times in life it seems like you're getting all fretted out about, you know, this coming down the road or whatever. And we kind of ebb and flow. But, you know, there's great security during those phases of life where I've lived as I ought in daily dependence upon God. Because, you know, it just frees you of the need to worry. You know, if you're just feeling like, you know, we're okay today, And tomorrow's going to come, and when tomorrow comes, God will make sure we're okay tomorrow. And we'll collect what we have to collect on that day for that day. And we'll let God worry about how He's going to deal with what comes thereafter. And, you know, sometimes God puts us in a pressure cooker where we're compelled to live that way. That's what He did to Israel. And it can be a good thing. Because that's how God would have us to live in daily dependence upon Him. You say, but Pastor, you don't understand how much pressure I'm under. I mean, I don't think I can endure my circumstances any longer. God promises. He'll give you the strength and the provision that you need for today. His grace is always sufficient. It's frankly super abundant, but you know, in our experience, it's always sufficient for the day. You say, Pastor, you don't understand. We're down to our last bit of reserves in our business. We can't keep making it up if things don't pick up. God will provide for what He has led you to do. You know, we have some pressures financially as a church, you know, and I'm prone to worry about that, you know, but you know, God reminds me, you know what, I've got this well under control. You know, this is my work, my ministry. You know, you just sit back and let me take care of it day by day, week by week, just a little bit at a time. God will give us what we need for each day. So we pray in the morning, Lord, I don't know what I'll face today, but I need You to provide the wisdom and the strength and the faith and the patience and the contentment and the desire and the finances and the purity and whatever it else may be that I may need today in order to live obediently in Your kingdom. We close our eyes to sleep at night and we pray and we're asking God for the same thing for the next day, just one day at a time. Folks, we need to remember we're absolutely dependent on our Heavenly Father, whether we appreciate it or not, whether we express it or not. He does provide day by day, and He only provides day by day. And anything that we think we've got saved up in store, He can say to us, just as He said to that man in the parable, "Thou fool, tonight, you know, your life's going to be required." I mean, God holds every day, every minute in His hands. So this is a prayer asking our Father to provide daily what we need in order to bring glory and honor to Him through all the day's needs and events. Let me have you just take a look at verses 31 through 34 in Matthew 6. A little later on in the chapter in which this prayer is found. And let me just preface reading this by saying this, that God is concerned about everything, however big or however small, that happens in His kingdom and that happens in your life. And He has permanently committed Himself to providing for us, His children. And so Jesus says this in Matthew 6:31, "Therefore, take no thought." In other words, it doesn't mean don't plan or make provision, but He says just don't worry about it. "What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil," or the troubles thereof. In other words, He's saying, you know, there's pressures today, yes. Don't worry about the pressures tomorrow. There's enough pressures for today. You just trust God today. He'll provide for today. He'll take care of you. He knows your needs. He knows what He's going to do. He knows His desires for you. You just trust Him today. And don't burden yourself with worry about things that may or may not come to pass. You know what? Deal with those when the time comes. And give them to God on that day. But today you give to God the pressures of the day, the needs of the today, and you can be assured that He will give you your daily bread. He will grant to you what you need. So this is bread that can't come from ourselves. It's for all of us. It's given day by day. It's new every morning, if you will, just like God's mercies and compassions that Jeremiah talks about. And the fourth observation is this. This bread enables us to live. Give us this day our daily bread. I think it really has in mind several things. First of all, of course, it's the physical food that is necessary in order to live. You know, God could strike us with famine, despite all our pesticides and herbicides and irrigation and whatever. I mean, God could do that if He wanted to. And farmers are reminded, you know, and my wife comes from a farming background. You know, farmers are reminded by the very nature of their work that, you know what, you work hard, but ultimately, if the plants grow, it's because of God. He brought the water. He provided the soil. He, you know, kept the seed safe from the locusts and whatever it might be. I mean, God did all those things. You might have tried to help it along, but the fact is, it all rests in God's hand. And I wonder how often, you know, when we're reaching for food in the store or in our cupboards or sitting down at our tables, are we really acknowledging that God has provided this daily bread? Now, we make it a habit of thanking the Lord before we eat, but you know, for many of us, much of the time, we do that pro forma. You know, we do it, and we do it honorably, but you know, we're more focused on, boy, that smells good, than we are on, thank you, Lord, for what you have provided. That's a good thing for us to intentionally remember how amazing God's provision for us is. You know, because we live in a comfortable day. In a comfortable segment of the world, few of us can really empathize, say that fast three times, with the force behind this petition. Those who are genuinely in highly pressured need day by day. You know, there's a reason why our young folks, and lots of us older ones too, leave food on our plate at the end of a meal. When I was in elementary school, we ate in this big lunchroom, you know, and you had all the cookie cutter plates And at the end, you would take your plate up to this window and push it in there. Many of you probably had a similar experience. Well, in our school, the head cook's name was Mrs. Roeder. And Mrs. Roeder was a very robust lady and a very intimidating lady. And Mrs. Roeder would spend most of the lunch hour standing next to the window. And right by that window, there was a table over here. And if you came to the window with food on your plate and you couldn't get it in the window before Mrs. Roeder saw it, you were sitting down at the table finishing your bread. I remember the day that Bruce Campbell broke the record for most peanut butter sandwiches. He ate something like 37 of them. Problem is, he didn't eat any of the crusts. And he had a plate piled high with crusts. Mrs. Roeder sat him down at that table. He ate every one of those crusts. Okay? Okay? And so what you would see is students would be sitting there, and they would see every once in a while Mrs. Roeder would have to go in, take a walk through the kitchen, check on the serving lines, and as soon as there would be this, just all the lemming flocking to the window, trying to get their plates into the window before Mrs. Roeder got back out there to stop them and make them eat the food that they had left behind. You know, I grew up in, and I live in, a culture where it's easy for us to be ungrateful. I was kind of smiling at supper because I knew what I was preaching on tonight. My wife didn't necessarily know, and we had this this taco pie, and it was really good. And so I had my one piece of that, and I said, could I have another piece of taco pie? And my wife says, wouldn't you like to have your lettuce first? And you know, and she phrased it as a question, so I said, no, I'd like to have another piece of taco pie. You know, and we were kind of chuckling about, you know, the lack of gratefulness. I did eat my lettuce and was very grateful for it and was especially grateful for that taco pie. Okay? But, you know, we have many, many blessings. And we sometimes just fail to be thankful and to recognize that, you know, God has provided it. He provides the physical food that we need to live. Many times, it's not so much of recent, but especially when the kids were younger, my wife would, you know, remind us of the starving children and wherever it was, any fill in the blank, any of a number of different places around the world, whatever would pop into her mind at that point in time. Because, you know, there are, in the world, places where there's children digging through heaps of rubbish looking for a scrap of bread, as it were, looking for something they can sell for a few cents to buy a scrap of bread. You know, and we have such abundance. So much of our lives, in some cases all of our lives, and we fail to be as thankful as we ought to be. But this is a prayer that acknowledges that, you know what, God, you have provided every bit of that, every crumb, all those crusts, whatever it might be, all of that has been graciously provided, the physical bread that we need. It's also a petition for the necessities of life that enable us to live out God's will. Martin Luther explained it as everything necessary for the preservation of this life is bread, including food, a healthy body, good weather, house, home, wife, children, good government, peace, and so on. But all of that is, in a sense, those necessities, that daily bread, that which God has provided for us in order that we might live a life that is pleasing to Him. New designer clothing is not a necessity. You know, neither is a large savings account or a secure retirement plan. God may choose to prosper us with those things, but those aren't necessities. Necessities are those things we need to carry out God's will for our lives with zeal and obedience. I read a story, I think it was in Reader's Digest, but I don't remember, but it sounds like a Reader's Digest story in any event, of a lady who was in the midst of the Christmas rush, and she hurriedly purchased 50 greeting cards, signed most of them, and dropped them in the mail. It wasn't until some weeks later, when things slowed down, that she finally got around to reading one of the cards. And to her great embarrassment, it said, this card is just a note to say a little gift is on the way. And so those 50 or so people, I suppose, were disappointed when she realized that she had made a promise that she wasn't planning to keep. But, you know, folks, that's not God. I mean, when God makes promises, He doesn't make them flippantly. He doesn't make them absently. He doesn't make them mindlessly. What He says, He'll do. And God has promised us that He will provide all that we need, you know, in the physical realm, in the spiritual realm, in terms of the necessities and even the comforts of life. All that He deems we need, He will provide, and He will provide it abundantly. Lastly, this also points to our spiritual food found in the Word of God. You know, folks, we are starving and our growth is stunted unless we are daily being nourished by the Word of God. And that parallel is made countless times. It's alluded to in the Scripture. You know, we hear it, we share it with one another often, but it's true. Now, that's not to make this some formulaic thing. If I miss one meal, trust me, I will not starve. You know? So the point isn't to say that, you know, I got to do this because I got to do this. It's to say that we have a natural hunger for food. And if I go very long, I'm ready. You know, I'm ready to satisfy that hunger. And we ought to have a hunger for spiritual nourishment that comes through the Word of God. And if we go a prolonged time without really feeding that, or just doing it kind of half-heartedly, like eating nothing but junk food, if you will, I mean, the parallel there is weak, so be careful. But I mean, you know, the point is, I mean, if we aren't really feeding, and really nourishing ourselves properly and in a balanced way, just as that has ramifications for us physically in the area of physical food, so it is in the spiritual realm. And so God is, our Savior is, as he says in John 6:51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Jesus is the bread of life. And so there's a sense in which when we say, give us this day our daily bread, we are calling out to God to nourish us spiritually through his word. And then we're ingesting that and enjoying that. So God's bread includes all we need for physical life, for spiritual growth, for daily living as redeemed sinners in a sin-cursed world. And we'll wrap up here. So what have we touched on tonight? Maybe you've come to realize that what seemed like maybe a familiar and rather low-key petition is really much more than just asking God put food on my table. It's asking that God would give us what we need in order to do his will and his work today and all that we need. So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're asking God for strength, you know, to live out the life that we ought live, asking him to nourish us with his word so we can live like Christ, asking for a hunger and a thirst and a desire to follow God. And we're asking for that not just for me, but for my brothers in Christ, for my sisters in Christ. And I'm also saying, Lord, you know, if you can help my brothers and sisters in Christ by something that I can say or do or give, would you help me to be able to do that? Would you use me to minister daily bread to your children and use them to minister daily bread to me? And as we do that, folks, we can rest secure, trusting in God's goodness and in God's provision. Heavenly Father, give us this day our daily bread. Let's close with prayer.